Appreciate Miss Roberta tonight. I'm glad we've been doing this now for about 18 years. Because the practice we put in on that song was tremendous. I mean, a lot of practice. If you want your Bibles tonight, turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. I hope you've had a good week. I just think about, again, I know I mention it from time to time, many of you who come straight from work, Lord bless you. We drove 114, me and my wife, this afternoon. We were there about 4:30. And I just want to, that's amazing. With all the lanes opened, I don't know, are you guys that are driving that direction, Brother Reed, you still drive that way? Is it helped, hasn't it? At 4:30, that was amazing. I've never gotten through that area. I mean, we stopped a couple of times, but that was awesome. So, anyway, I sidetracked, didn't I? But some of you who drive, I feel for you. And so, to empathize with you guys tonight, I did not eat supper. And so, while I'm preaching tonight, I'll be thinking about food. Nothing new. Genesis chapter 12. A very familiar subject tonight on this, the man Abraham. Most of you been in church a long time, like myself, have heard stories and preaching on Abraham. So tonight will be a lot of review, but just a reminder that one of the greatest heroes of the faith is Abraham. And what a man he was. And so let's look here at Genesis chapter 12, familiar passage. Verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee." I hope you have verse 3 underlined in your Bible. If you underline your Bible, it ought to be underlined. "I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for your love for us. We thank you for the opportunity to meet together and to study your word together. We do pray that this familiar subject would not just be another repetition and it would not fall on deaf ears tonight, but we'd all be attentive and ready to go and ready to listen and to apply many of the wonderful attributes of Abraham to our own lives. So we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I do, before we really get into the message, want to again, look at verse 3. "And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee." I want to remind you that God blesses the nations who bless Israel. And us as the America, us as the United States of America, are not just in support of Israel because of them being Israel. We're supporting them because God has made it clear, made it very evident in His Word that those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who do not will be cursed. And so no matter how politically you may feel about Israel and the role they play or whether or not we should be helping them, I say more money, all we can do to help Israel, anything we can do, do it. Because if we do that, God says He will bless us. And again, I believe Israel is on the right side of the political issue. But if they weren't, I'd still be for supporting them. Because of the promise given by God Himself, not by man, but by God Himself, to support Israel. And so let us remember that as time goes forward, whether it's Syria or Iran or Russia, whomever, and whatever may befall all this stuff that's happening. It looks like maybe it's kind of cooling off a little bit. But if it didn't and things blew up, boy, America better stand behind Israel. And I believe personally that our current president does not support Israel. And so we need to remember and be on top of things, that when and if things fall out, that we, I hope you have the number to your representative, you know, and that at least the email address. And I appreciate our representative here who emails us. I get those emails. You get one today, you ought to get on that email list, and you can actually email right back if you would like. And so just be involved. Remember, again, God's promise that we support Israel. And no matter how we may feel about it, it's a promise of God. But that is not the primary principle tonight that we want to talk about is the subject of Abraham the man. Abraham the man. Abraham was born and raised in the ancient city of Ur. We see this in Genesis chapter 11. We won't turn back there. Ur was a seaport on the Persian Gulf at the mouth of the Euphrates River, some 12 miles from the traditional site of the Garden of Eden. So he's from Ur. It's a pagan area. He came from a pagan family. We find this in Joshua 24, verse 2. Makes that very clear that Abraham came from a pagan family. That's why I mentioned Sunday that Abraham was not born a Jew. He became a Jew through a covenant with God. So he is the father of the Jewish nation because of the covenant or the promises and covenant he made with God. He moved with his father and family to Haran, where his father died in Genesis chapter 11. And then in chapter 12 here, we see that he moved to Canaan. And by the way, he was told to move by God himself. And we won't go into the study tonight, but I do believe he followed God's command to a point and maybe stopped off at Haran where he shouldn't have, and his dad died. But that's a whole different subject. All right. But understanding that he moved, he was told to go to a country. Look at verse 12 of chapter 12, verse 1 again. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Notice he said, and from thy father's house. Again, entirely different subject. Just something you might go back and study. But anyway. And from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. He was to go to a land that he'd never been to before. Go to a land that God would show him. And God made that great promise to him that in him all the families of the earth would be blessed. And you could turn to Genesis 15, and we'll do that here in just a minute. But God again reiterates this promise to Abraham and moves forward. Abraham died at the age of 175. You can read that in Genesis chapter 25. He was the founder of the Jewish nation in which God called him, and that through him a great nation would be born, and that he would bless him and make his name great, and that thou shalt be a blessing, verse 2. And he promised him that his seed would be of the sands of the seashore and as the stars of heaven. That's amazing, isn't it? And how that promise was fulfilled. Amen. Both physically and now spiritually. As we are spiritual children of Abraham. That's what Galatians tells us. Amen? And so Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. I'm going to repeat myself on purpose. Abraham was not born a Jew. Abraham, through a covenant, through a promise, through a relationship with the Lord, became a Jew, and so forth. All right? He was the first man. Look it over Genesis chapter 15. And look with me. Let's begin reading in verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Genesis 15, verse 4, this shalt not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Talking about Ishmael. And he brought him forth abroad and said, he brought Abraham forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars that thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And I have that word seed underlined in my Bible because it's singular. So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. By the way, this is the first time in the scripture where someone is recorded as believing in the Lord. He believed in the Lord. Does not mean there wasn't believers before this. It's just the first believer that is called and said about him that he believed the Lord. By the way, he's a pattern for us. Abraham believed the Lord, and so should we. Abraham believed the promise that through him a seed would come, the Messiah. You say, well, that's not what that says. We know that the gospel was preached to Abraham, and I want you ought to, out beside Genesis 15, verse 6, or verse 5 and 6, you ought to write down Galatians and chapter 3. The New Testament many times gives us further insight into Old Testament passages. Everyone with me? For instance, how do we know that how do we know Jonah was swallowed by a whale? The New Testament tells us that, right? And so many times the New Testament gives us further insight into Old Testament stories. And this is one of the ways we know that Abraham, that the gospel was preached unto him. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. It says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness." All right, so again, let me recount to you that Abraham believed the promise that through him a Messiah would come. Through him a seed would come who would remedy the fallen condition of man and bring salvation to all mankind. "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Why didn't it say, "In thee shall all the Jews be blessed"? Why would God tell Abraham, "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed"? You think Abraham just stood back and said, "I don't know what that means. Lord, what do you mean by that? All the families of the earth will be blessed." No, God told him what he meant. And we know that because of Galatians chapter 3. And look with me again. "And know ye therefore," verse 7, "that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." By the way, that's you and me. Me and you. We are children of faith. We're children of Abraham. "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed." Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the gospel was preached unto Abraham. What is the gospel? The gospel tells it. I mean, 1 Corinthians, let's turn there real quick. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. I'm going to give you time to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. Anybody ever ask you the question, what is the gospel? This is the text you can go to. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which you also have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." So how are we saved? We're saved by believing the gospel. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture." And then, he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. But the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. And Paul says, to them that believe, in that same verse 1 and 2, them that believe the gospel are saved. Saved. Saved from what? Well, we go to Romans and we find out through Scripture we're saved from the lake of fire, the judgment of sin, the judgment upon mankind sin. We're saved by putting our faith and believing the gospel. So when the Bible says, when Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, he says that Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness, quoting Genesis chapter 15, right? That when he believed that the future Messiah would come. He believed that the Messiah would come, that the Messiah would come and die on a cross, that he would be buried, and he would rise again from the dead. He believed the gospel. That's what he believed. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed the future Messiah would come. And we've said this many times, that there's lots of new people. I just want to... review is the best teacher. Remember in the Old Testament that the Old Testament saints, from Abraham on back to Abraham on forward, that they all looked forward to the cross for salvation. And as New Testament saints, we look back to the cross for salvation. But the salvation the Old Testament saints had and the salvation we have is the very same. It's salvation by grace through faith. Abraham did not earn salvation. Abraham did not earn salvation. Abraham did not earn salvation, as many Jews believe and still believe, simply by making the covenant with God. He was not saved because of that. And neither are the Jews. The Bible says they're willingly ignorant of God's righteousness, how high it is. And there are many Jews who still believe, and most Jews still believe, that because they're Jews, that they're going to heaven. But that's not true. Simply being a Jew does not get you into heaven. Abraham being a Jew did not get into heaven. Abraham believing in the future Messiah who would come and die and be buried and rise again from the dead, that saved Abraham from the judgment of God upon his sins, from hell, and gained him entrance into heaven. It's believing that matters. It's believing that matters. Abraham, the gospel was preached unto Abraham. Isn't that amazing to think about that? I believe absolutely that the gospel was preached unto Adam and Eve. I don't think God would have come down and confronted Adam and Eve and then killed that first animal that they had ever seen anything die before. They'd never seen anything die before. And when God killed the first animals and provided them for coats of skin, I believe absolutely that God there gave them the remedy. In fact, Genesis 3:15, He made it clear that one day there would be a resolution, that one day there would be a fix for the sinful condition of mankind. And Adam and Eve understood that. And you can go forward and you can see how that was passed from generation to generation because of the rebellion of one of their sons and so forth. You can see it, that God made it very clear to them, the gospel as well. The gospel was preached unto Abraham. That's something, isn't it? That salvation in the Old Testament is by grace through faith. Salvation in the New Testament is salvation by grace through faith. And salvation in the millennial kingdom and during the tribulation will be by grace through faith. And for those who may teach otherwise, and you can go read books about it, they just don't follow the Bible. The salvation of mankind has been the same from the beginning and it'll be the same in the end. Salvation's by grace through faith in believing and trusting in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And therefore, Abraham believed in the Lord and therefore became a pattern for all believers. And we see that. Aren't you glad that the Bible is consistent from Genesis to Revelation? That it follows the flow, the stream of Revelation, and it's so comforting and rewarding to know that Abraham again believed. It was counted to him righteousness, and if we will believe, it will be counted to us for righteousness. And it wasn't the righteousness of himself that got him to heaven, but the righteousness that was applied to his account. And David the same way. And Romans chapter 4 and 5 tell us about David having believed and counted to him for righteousness. So, Abraham was the pattern for all believers. It's amazing to me that Abraham is mentioned 308 times in the Bible. Pretty important character, isn't he? Pretty important character. We think about Abraham, there are many characteristics of Abraham, many principles that we could learn from. One of those is found in Genesis chapter 14 and verse 20. We'll look at verse 18 there. Genesis chapter 14 and verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed Abraham, and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him tithes of all. Abraham gave Melchizedek tithes of all. First off, I'd like to point out that the tithe is the Lord's, the 10%. I'd like to point out that the tithe was before the Mosaic law. We see this here in Genesis chapter 12, that Abraham's giving the tithe. There are some who say, well, the law was done away with and therefore the tithe was done away with. That's absolutely incorrect. The tithe was before the law. The tithe has always been around. The tithe is there. In fact, Jesus Christ himself condoned the tithing of those who came by. And so we know that and we are commanded. The tithe is the Lord's. And upon the first of the week, let every man lay aside what's been prospered him. And so on Sunday, the first day of the week, we should tithe. We should give 10%. Of what God has given us before the IRS, and we should give that to the Lord. And then, on top of that, I believe the Bible refers to offerings. The offerings are not the tithe. The offerings, the tithe is simply what we owe the Lord. The offering is above that. And so we all, most of you tonight, I know I'm preaching to the choir, get involved in missions and get involved in building fund and get involved in supporting our young people, the youth department. Man, we have really, really supported the youth department this year, which is wonderful. And they've been able to do some great things. And, getting involved in these other areas, the fall festival, these are offerings that the Lord, free will offerings that the Lord places upon your heart. I'd like to, again, also mention that because this subject was brought up with me and Brother Jason Pugh. We're talking about ways in which to raise money for buildings. And he was asking me good questions about how and what to do. And I said, we must be very careful. I do not believe that the buildings of the church or the salaries of the church should be supplied by, you know, some fundraiser that we all go out and do. Amen? Everywhere you see in the Bible, it's the people of God who supply for the house of God. Not some parachurch organization or not some bake sale. Now, we'll have bake sales and we'll have every kind of thing for the youth department we can think of. I mean, anything we can think of. We'll do just about anything. Some things are a little questionable, but we'll do them for the youth department. But if you're talking about taking care of the house of God and taking care of these things, that should be supplied by the people of God and not through some Walmart bake sale. Amen? Now, I was mentioning to Brother Jason because they're trying to get ready to buy or build and do. And I said that, I told him the story about when we made the down payment on this property. And we were just a year old. And man, it was, we had some money in the bank. I think we had about $30,000 saved up. But we needed a little over $60,000 for a down payment in 30 days. And so I just presented to people. Our finance team said, hey, if we want this property, we got to have 60-something thousand in 30 days. And our people, and some of you are here still, and man, God bless you. And I remember getting checks, and Carla Abrams could testify to this, getting checks in the offering that were those credit card checks. Some people, you say, well, that's just not right. Preacher, you shouldn't use a credit card check to pay. You know what? I was excited about that. I was like, you know, whatever it takes. And some people chose to do that. Some people chose to have garage sales themselves and give the garage sale proceeds to the church. I'm sorry I went all Texan on you guys. But I was telling Brother Jason about this. I said, you know what? You know what? It was good for us to sacrifice that way. Our family did the same thing. We did a few things, moved some money around, and we didn't have much back then. And, man, it was something, right? Well, you know. Because generally, as I do now, I'll stand up and say, you know, me and my wife will give such and such. I think we gave $500 of that or something. We didn't have it. We had to go, you know, we sold a kid or something. I don't know. But, man, God bless that. And it was an exciting time of our church of raising that money in the 30 days and now signing for the land and having it. It was ours. And, man, what a blessing. And now to see how God blessed that. But those funds were provided by the people of the Lord. They were provided by the congregation. And it did some good to go. I know of one family, and it's now that time has passed a long ways, I know of one family that went and borrowed from the bank $1,000. Themselves just went and borrowed didn't have it, borrowed $1,000 and gave it. Just everything you could think of people giving and sacrificing to see that happen. And I know Brother Jason's group will do the same thing. And we're going to help them. We're going to help them more. But the people of God provide for the buildings. And every year, and if you want to do your own study, you can. But every year, we mentioned this in January, that the buildings in the Old Testament, all of the buildings in the Old Testament were not supplied by the tithe. And they're not built with the tithe. They were all built with free will offerings. So the building fund is a biblical fund. It has a biblical principle behind it. And that is to help and I'm not saying in the New Testament we have to follow that same guide that the offerings pay for the buildings, because that's not the case here. But certainly we ought to give above and beyond to help provide the house of God, to help provide this edifice that God has given for us. And you guys are faithful to do that. But the tithe is the Lord's. And if we could go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where the Bible says we are to give bountifully. Give bountifully. You can look it up later. 2 Corinthians 9:6, and you, if you know, been around very long, you know 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 are about giving, and give bountifully, and we ought to give in a way that is expressing our love towards the Lord. The tithe is the Lord's, and those offerings are expressing our love for the Lord, and we ought to give as unto the Lord. You know, when we give here, it's to the Lord. It's not to the preacher or to someone. But it is to the Lord. And I'm so thankful that we've had many baptized lately. Isn't that awesome? And we see the results of the giving. It all moves that direction towards providing for the house of God, and then in turn allowing us to witness and be a lighthouse to our community. And then, of course, 2 Corinthians 9:7, give cheerfully, not grudgingly or of necessity, but the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And I'm not saying you shouldn't give if you don't do it cheerfully, but well, you ought to do it cheerfully. And just give and smile about it and go on. And I don't know how many times I've had people come to me and, you know, with financial problems, and the first thing usually I ask is, are you giving? Because the Bible says if you're not giving, it's like putting your money in your pocket with hole in it. And I believe that. And my dad taught me from a very early age that God will do, you can do a lot more with the 90% than you can the 100, because God will bless that. He will bless it. And I've had people come to me and ask the question, should I pay my electric bill or give my tithe? I said, give your tithe, and God will provide the other. And it's absolutely biblical. It's absolutely right. But it ought to be done cheerfully. It ought to be done cheerfully. He knew how to take his requests. Abraham worshiped God through giving, but he also understood prayer. And we'll turn over there for a minute. We won't go into it very much, but in chapter 18, we remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, where Abraham intercedes for this city and for Lot. And it says there that Abraham drew near and said, verse 23, of chapter 18, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous of the wicked? Preadventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shalt not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And so we see here Abraham talking with God, the angel of the Lord. He's talking to Jesus Christ, a theophany. He is talking to the Lord in such a way that is very bold. When the New Testament says, come boldly before the throne of grace, we see this evidenced here with Abraham. But he's absolutely doing it in humility. We see that on down through here, and Abraham answered and said, behold, verse 27, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. So I've had that question, what does God mean by coming boldly to Him? I believe we come to Him boldly, and that we come to Him with our requests, that we're not timid about what we need or what we're praying for. But as far as our posture when we come to the Lord, it should be one of humility. It should be prostrate before Him. All right? Now, boldly presenting our case to Him is absolutely biblical. In fact, prayer means ask. Pray, that term means ask. If you're going to God and you're praying and you're not asking for nothing, technically you're not praying. All right? So we go to Him boldly with our requests. We go to Him and again, not such in a timid motion, knowing that these are the needs we have and here's who we're praying for, we're interceding for someone. But as far as our heart's condition, it should be one of humility. When I said prostrate, I don't mean the outside. I'm talking about the inside. That our hearts kneel before the Lord. And remembering who we're talking to. Abraham said, I am just dust, Lord. But I want to ask you the question again. And he continued to ask the question. And he spake unto him, verse 29, yet again, and shall be 40. And then taken again to the Lord, preadventure there should be 20. And again, verse 32, and he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Preadventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Abraham was a man of prayer. He was a man of prayer. He took his petitions to the Lord. He was humble about it, but he also was what? Persistent. Now, let's remember, just because we don't get the answer the first time doesn't mean we should stop praying. We need to continue to ask. I don't believe the Lord likes these ritualistic prayers that some denominations do, where they're just quoting the same prayer every Sunday. I believe that's all very ritualistic. But that is not the same as persistence. It does not mean you can't come to the Lord with the same petition and pray for that same prayer over and over and over again until you get an answer. Yes. No. Wait. Right? God always answers prayer. And so until you get the confidence that your prayer has been answered, you can continue to be persistent about that prayer. Coming humbly before Him with a humble heart, but being persistent in that prayer. Whether it's praying for a loved one who's sick. I think about Brother Bandy. It's absolutely not wrong to come to God every day, as many times as you want every day, and pray for Brother Bandy, and pray that God would lead in his life and strengthen him and give the doctors wisdom and that God would heal him. There's nothing wrong with doing that and praying, of course, in Jesus' name and praying for God's will, but it's nothing wrong with praying persistently for Brother Bandy. And so I think you should on Wednesday night, as I've done for years, write down every prayer request, and I usually out beside that prayer request try to write in parentheses who gave the request so I can kind of remember what's going on. And then pray through that prayer list. You can pray through the prayer list every day. If you don't do it every day, do it at least one time a week or twice a week and pray. Be persistent in your praying. Abraham was persistent. He was a man of prayer. And lastly, he was a man, what? What's the biggest attribute of Abraham? A man of faith. A man of faith. I don't know about you, but Genesis 22 still gets to me every time I read it. And God told Abraham to offer up his son. It says, and it came to pass, chapter 22, verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham refused and walked away. It doesn't say that, does it? Abraham rose up early in the morning. He didn't wait till noon and lay in bed and sulk. Got up early in the morning, saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood, and I love I don't want to just pass it up, verse 5, where he says, and we'll come again unto you. Hebrews tells us that Abraham knew that if he was to take Isaac's life, that God would raise him from the dead. He knew that because he knew Isaac was the promised seed. He knew that through Isaac, the Messiah was to come. Abraham, you can go read it. Hebrews chapter 11, go through and read that chapter. And there towards the end, you'll see where Hebrews tells us, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, Paul says that Abraham believed that had he taken Isaac's life, that God would have raised Isaac from the dead. Not only believed it, but he knew he had to. Because God had already promised that through Isaac, the promised Messiah would come. The seed would come. You know what? God doesn't lie. I don't believe when Abraham lifted up that knife that he would hesitate. The angel stopped him. But I don't believe there was any hesitation. He knew his son was going to return with him. He told the servants that. He understood that. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? I love this verse. Verse 8, if it's not underlined in your Bible, it should be. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And we know that they got up there and of course, Isaac laid down there on that altar, and Abraham was about to take his life, and the angel of the Lord stopped him, and God provided a ram there in the thicket. God provided a sacrifice, and I'm so glad that God provided a lamb on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. What a man of faith to believe God to the point. And that verse, by the way, is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 through 19. To believe God to the point that you're willing to kill your own son, knowing that your son would be resurrected by God. That's faith. That's faith in the promises of God. I want you to know, do you have that same kind of faith when God says He'll supply all your needs? He said He would. He will. Do you have that same faith when God says He'll never leave you nor forsake you? And when you're in the hospital room or you're beside the bed of someone you love who's hurting, you really believe that promise God will never leave you nor forsake you? We need the faith of Abraham. Abraham believed God. Believed God. The first one in the Bible who that was set up. He believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Let's all stand. We have a verse of invitation tonight. Abraham, hero of the faith. Abraham, one that, by the way, one that stood for right. And there's many attributes in his own life, many characteristics of Abraham where he continued to stand. And we're so thankful for the example we have in the Bible. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for Abraham, the example we have to follow, our spiritual father, who we're just so glad that we are able to read about him and to learn from him. I pray tonight that we would have the faith of Abraham. We ask this in your name. Amen.